Gotcha. Give mind to things you've tried. I'm the one that can satisfy you.
Welcome to Podcast Episode 172, Werewolves in Warplanes. I'm Saffron.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And I'm Shiva.
We've had such a fun conversation before we started recording.
My little fur fag, stuffing it in balls deep.
It's like, my little fur fag. My little fur fag. I used to wonder what fandom could be. So you all shared your porno with me. Gaping orifices.
Massive cocks.
Exposed hearts.
What?
Da, 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 da. Sharing boners. It's an easy feat, and Cub Snuff makes it all complete. My little fur fag. Don't you know you are my very friend?
I didn't know where you were going there at the end, and then it got up.
Don't you know? I expect remixes on YouTube.
You know, you're my internet mate. And my master and slave, and my two pets, and my three daddies. Rats.
Cub Stuff makes it all complete.
I posted, after some kind of drama happened on FA, and
again,
I posted. Drama? Oh, it was after the pony banner on FA, and I posted my little butt hurt, and it was like, "Yeah, drama makes it all complete."
Yeah, yeah. So hey,
surprisingly, I didn't get too much hatred for that.
Yeah,
you're losing your touch. I mean, well, really,
you'd probably just be like, "Yeah, well,
hey, fuck this week shit. Our emails." We got Fuzz was offensive, and Fuzz's voice is sometimes annoying, so I am not losing my touch.
Wow, you got both my emails? No. So, how was y'all's week gone? I mean, how about you, Fuzz?
Okay, so work's been interesting. So, I've been on an upswing this week.
Well, that's good.
I'm feeling a little better. Monday was my bitch. I grabbed it by the haunches and humped it into submission. Because I closed 20 work orders. And nice. It was just a really productive day. And I've had a really productive week. And then this morning, I got a pair of work orders that are linked. That is like the massive, massive work order that we sometimes get. This one thing will take me 3 days to complete.
Well, good thing you're ahead of the game, huh?
So all of a sudden, my, you know, I was like, yeah, pulling the numbers up, woo! And then it was like, doo, 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 doo. But, you know, I'm okay. It's one thing that I know how to do that I can spend, like, a lot of it is repetitive, which means I can actually, like, listen to a podcast or something other than just random music or something, and Monday will come around, I'll be fine, you know? So, not much else going on. Oh, I started up the sale that I had mentioned last week. So we have our anthology sale going on at the moment. So
at furplanet.com.
At furplanet.com. Fang 1 and Roar 1 are both down to $9.95. The other Fang and Roar books are down to $14.95. And our other anthologies that we've published are down to $17.95. So
save yourself some money. Get yourself some stories.
Get into anthology appreciation just before we release like a bunch more anthologies later in the year.
Woot. You're a legitimate publishing your cows or something.
Yeah, totally. I also need to finish. I'm working on a story right now, actually, and I need to finish that by the end of the month. Because I'm writing a story that's going to be going into our anthology that's coming out in June.
Get yourself a Fuzzwolf story.
Yeah, and it's going to be a Trevor story, which I
hasn't been one of those in years.
Yeah, it has been years. You're right. That's probably so been about 5 years.
He's
going to
be all tight again.
Yeah, not after this story. Lots and lots of dicks.
It will fit. Never quit. Oh.
So this is the... I guess I can go ahead and put this out there then. But this is... last Anthrocon, Siani and I were driving home. And after like 8 hours on the road and at the end of a very busy con, and we're a little punch drunk and we're just... we're bullshitting like guys do on a road trip, and we come up with this idea, and it was one of those, it seemed like a great idea at the time kind of ideas. So the anthology is called Plowed, and all the stories in it takes place on a farm, and it's all gay fucking on a farm. And originally it was going to just be foxes, and then we kind of expanded that out, but you know, we've already got most of the stories in. I'm doing one. Tyrion's also doing one. Siani's doing one. and, you know, we got the cover lined up and everything. So it's going to be just a fun little yiffy book, basically. Plowed. And I told Tyrion, and he was like, that's terrible. He's like, it'll sell really well, so we have to do it now. But that's so terrible.
Yeah, well.
But sometimes we gotta, you know, we gotta mix up the catalog. We gotta have those kind of just for fun books. And, you know, then we gotta have our other books. And
books and books and books.
And books. I'm looking forward to AC, actually. Because every year I freak out like we're not gonna have enough shit. And every year we end up with so much stuff. And this is gonna be another year where we got like a bunch of big stuff all at once.
Yep.
That's good. Cool.
Before I forget, you guys won't hear this probably, but shout out to everyone who's at FCN. That's this weekend. It's going on right now. So if you guys are at FCN, once you get done with the con, write in a con report, you know, for next week's show.
Let us know how FCN is, because it's way up there up north, and it's none of us have ever been.
Novi, Michigan, and we haven't been, just because
it's way the fuck up in Michigan.
It's way the fuck up there, and we've kind of got our con schedule maxed out now as far as, like, the time off for Tyrion and I, so it's hard to squeeze in any new con that we haven't been to before.
Yeah. Well, isn't, like, Sofulf up in that area?
No, this is further north.
Well, they're up in the northern part of the country.
Yeah. Right? But I don't think they're going there. But Rabbit Valley's there, and they're selling Sofulf and For Planet books.
Oh, okay, cool.
So, you know, both of us still have books represented up there at their table. So.
Yay!
But, yeah, maybe we'll make it up there one day. I don't know. Maybe one day I'll have more vacation time or something. But write in with your con reports if you, go to FCN this weekend and enjoy it, so. What have you guys been up to? Anything?
My week has been pretty much job hunting, car hunting. But at least one of those is finally done.
Yay!
I have a new car. Yay.
Woo! It's quite a nice car.
Yep. It's an 08 Rabbit.
Oh, Fox got a rabbit. Yes.
And,
ride that rabbit.
It's a nice, zippy little car. It's what I needed. I don't drive that much, so.
Yep.
A zippy little thing to get me around town.
Did you get a little bunny tail to put over the VW symbol on the back?
Maybe.
That might
be. Get a custom license plate.
Omer.
But it's been a fairly nondescript week.
Well, I mean, the car was good.
The car was good, and I like it. It's just a little. It's a black VW Rabbit. Of 08. So, it's what I needed.
Yep. And it looks like one of the nice thing about the certified used, you know, it's in real good condition. They've cleaned it all out and everything like that.
Yeah, so. And what's nice is, we got the second car we got from the same dealership.
Yeah.
So we got a really good rate this time around, and it carries the same warranty as, like, a new VW.
Yeah.
From Volkswagen does. And so it's like 48,000 miles, good to go. 100 has the powertrain warranty, still it's like 100,000 mile, I think.
Spiff.
So it should last me. And if certain parts don't last me, I take it to the dealership and they fix it.
Fuck yeah.
Which is kind of the point. Yeah, actually, still waiting on my plates, because those have to come in.
Mm-hmm.
But
that can take a while, though.
Yeah, that's why I've got the papers. But what sucks is because they're temp plates, I can't go on the tollway.
Yeah, I've seen temps on the tollway.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't think you can get a toll tag with temps.
Does your plate number change when you go from temps to a plate?
Yeah, but you could still use your toll tag in the car as long as it reads.
I mean, I only had the sticker.
Oh.
I don't have a little transponder.
Oh.
So I'd have to get...
Mm-hmm.
I have to have my plates so I can sign up for a toll tag so I can actually drive on the tollway.
Right.
Because driving 40 minutes to Frisco sucks.
Yeah, I can't remember how... I don't remember how my car had tags on it already. Because I bought it new and I got it off the lot.
Weird.
But I never had a temp tag on my Matrix.
I don't know. Whatever.
Yeah, whatever, man.
It's like, I got a new car. Yay.
Yay. Shiva, what's been up with you?
Work? I've actually been going to the gym regularly, believe it or not.
Cool.
Mate, it still hurt as fuck. He finally got some help down at Parkland, so he maybe might be on the upswing, but he's still really hurt.
Mm.
And that's been mostly it, is gym and just been hanging out with people. I have not, ever since Fiesta, my habits have completely changed. It used to be... go to work, come home, sit around, twiddle thumbs, spend a chunk of the night on the computer, and then go do something else, or maybe just spend all night playing WoW. Right around Fiesta, I quit playing WoW. Well, I quit raiding, and that had pretty much translated into, well, not playing WoW. Mm. I didn't really plan it that way. I still planned on playing, but it just has been like, you know, it's been like, it's good weather out, and I've just not been home, or I've been not on the computer, so it's been kind of crazy.
Well, see, with the activity thing, a while back, one of the guys from Penny Arcade posted about Fitocracy. It's sort of a gamification of fitness, where you log activity, you get experience points, and you level up, and there's achievements and stuff like that. And I did it for a little bit, but... nobody on to compete with. You know, yeah, Panther wasn't interested.
I was on it, but I just didn't really
do it. Then a couple, like last week, Panther mentioned it, that he wanted to get an invite. I'm like, no, it's live. You can just log in. And so now I have somebody to compete with.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if I could only convince him to go to the gym with me.
Well, that was it.
Because I have a gym membership I rarely use. I would like to use it more often, but... going by yourself kind of sucks sometimes.
That's kind of it. Siam keeps getting hurt. I mean, constantly just keeps re-hurting his back. So we go for a little bit, and then he'd get hurt, and then I wouldn't go. Well, mm-hmm. Over by where you live, the whole bunch of people started going to the gym behind your place of living.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, there's a whole bunch of people. So I've ended up, because I work, like, right by you, so I'm just shoot down the tollway. I usually go over, meet up with Recky or his mate Sarah or someone over there and go hit the gym. And then usually for whatever reason, I end up just hanging out there the rest of the night, which is where a lot of my time has gone. It's just like keep talking, play games, just end up being social. And I end up not being home, and it's kind of nice.
See, I wonder if like Panther's company has like a fitness stipend or something like that.
Maybe.
Any sort of benefit for that.
Yeah.
Mine does.
Because that 24-hour fitness has a pool, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's like one of the big things that Panther wants is a pool.
It's an because okay. It's like a, I think a little shorter than Olympic. It's like 3 or 4 lanes. Kind of really narrow, but it's enough so that you can swim. There's a hot tub.
There's a hot tub and a sauna, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a basically, dry.
That's one thing that Panther really likes. And, well, I consider... you know, we could look at that if we could get, like, a family thing. And that would get him to the gym. That would get me to the gym.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be good.
That 24-hour fitness has one. The Lifetime Fitness up north of us by the Whataburger we go to. yeah. has a much nicer pool. It's actually a lot nicer facility, but it's also out of the
really
way.
Expensive.
Yeah, that's
they're
why.
Like $50.
So how often are you going now?
3 days a week.
So when do you go?
Usually, it's working out to be like Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays. It would be Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, but look at where we are at.
Right, yeah.
So it's that, or I would show up like late to recording.
Well, see, that's what I would, you know, I was going to the gym really, really frequently for a while there.
Yeah.
Before my Saturn died completely, and I was without a car for like 6 months. Like, I was going to the gym like every other day.
Mm-hmm.
Doing 30, 45 minutes on the elliptical, doing weights.
Mm-hmm.
Then didn't have a car, and I got out of that habit.
Yeah. I've just never... It just feels to me like I never had the time, you know, because I've got the Four Planet thing and the day job.
Yeah.
But I really do have the time. It's just that I really have to make it, and I have to make it a habit. And well, see, I just like, haven't
for
done
me,
that.
I have all the time in the fucking world to do it, too.
Yeah.
I'm looking for a job.
And a gym buddy would help.
But a gym buddy would really help.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing. Like, the Planet Fitness thing that I have lets me bring in a guest at all times.
Oh.
Right.
So I could bring Panther with me.
But he won't.
Well, it's just getting around to dragging him out.
Yeah.
I'm sure he's tired once he gets home from work and all that.
Those are usually the days that we're going, and the times vary wildly depending on when their roommate gets off work.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes
that's the thing,
right after work, sometimes
like,
it's...
When Panther gets off work, it's pretty late as it is.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, it's about the same time as I get off work.
Yeah, but he gets home about 7 o'clock.
Ah, true.
Because you work down the street, down the tollway.
Yes,
he
I
works
love
up near
my
Frisco.
Commute. My commute is awesome.
Yeah, so, yay, yay. Congratulations, everybody. You now know about our horrible fat body habits. Oh.
Well, a lot of our listeners have similar because they're furries.
Yeah. It's just a matter
by
of taking
large.
The time to do it. And, like, now that we're competing with the photography thing, which
mm-hmm.
I've kind of wanted all along, you know, that should drive us both to do better.
Right. More betterer.
More betterer-ist. So, we've got 9 emails, and we've been nattering on for about 20 minutes.
About going to the gym.
Well, about going to the gym and about our weeks and stuff. It's the usual stuff. Congratulations, this Knotcast.
It's Knotcast. What are you going to do?
Fast forward is what they're going to do.
We should just like start putting, it's like, do you want to fast forward to the emails? Too bad.
Put in a little hit now to fast forward. It just skips like 3 seconds. Too
nope.
bad. Like a little chapter marker.
I think the listeners that we have are well accustomed to our habits.
Yeah.
All three of you.
Yeah. We've had people say they like the banter anyway,
yeah.
more than the emails. So.
Well, we don't exactly get a chance to talk. In the meantime, we chatter via IM and Twitter occasionally, but that's...
Yeah. This and dinner before the cast are kind of like our catch-up time, so...
So this is not scripted nor planned, and sometimes that's not a good thing, but yes.
Yeah, well...
it's not going to get to the point where it's like, what did I do this week? Well, I found this rash on my ass, and no.
So this one time...
Just once? Only once?
I, like, smoked so much weed. No.
They were out of Maui Wowie, so I had to do Blammo instead. I don't know.
And then... It's like, and then everything went double speed.
No. And then the Arabs came, and they bought Mercedes Benzes.
Yep.
Okay.
I like their Benzes.
And
their Jaguars.
Let's open up the
Open up
here.
The email vault.
Okay. So I'm going to start here. I'm going to read a short one. Cibolo furries. Hey guys, I'm Ace from Cibolo, Texas. I know you guys are up in Dallas, but do you think you have a couple seconds extra on the show? You could give the Cibolo, Texas Furries Facebook page a shout-out.
Well, there you go. So, Cibolo, Texas, they got a Facebook page. You should check that shit out.
Yeah. Do you know where Cibolo is?
It's northeast of San Antonio, because I had to look it up.
Oh, okay.
The power of Google.
The power of Google Maps.
Because I remember wondering that when we got the email, and I hadn't gotten around to looking it up.
San Antonio has 2 Air Force bases.
Huh.
The more you know.
That's interesting. Well, they have to protect the Riverwalk from terrorists.
Yep.
So.
And then, of course, they have something called Camp Bulls Military Reservation.
Hmm.
So there you go. Wow, San Antonio's got a whole bunch of military stuff around there.
Well, I think, isn't that where one of our listeners is stationed, Fujimaru? I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
So yeah,
we got an email from him this week.
Because he was scrambling when those tornadoes were coming through.
Oh.
Yeah.
He was like, game over, man! Game over!
We're in some real serious shit now.
What am I going to do? So who wants to read next?
I'll read. We should continue our Wittershins nonsense.
Okay.
Wittershins. Feeling a bit lost. First off, this doesn't need to be read on the air. But if possible, I'd really appreciate a response either way. Second, I'd like to remain anonymous.
Thank you for putting that at the beginning.
And at the end.
Yeah. It's like, I'd like to remain anonymous, and then you didn't sign with your name. That's a good thing.
Partway through is good, too. Oh, by the way, this is anonymous.
A somewhat recent event has more than sent my life reeling, but it's a touch difficult to set the scene. Late November 2007, I met a guy, I call him Fox, in Second Life and had a nice conversation with him. I know the cast doesn't really understand the topic fully, but Fox and I spoke about master-pet relationships. The result was I collared him as my pet as somewhat of a trial thing for both of us. Things progressed nightly, and a little later, he told me he was toying with the idea of mateship with a local friend, A. Fox told this guy about me, why he needed me, and his friend was happy to share Fox with me. I don't know exactly when, but sometimes around August 2009, or probably a couple months later, a couple months earlier, I found out Fox was mated with someone else, hereby labeled Bat. Bat did not know about me, and I wasn't the type to share.
And he
wasn't the type to share.
Yeah.
God. I cannot read.
You have the chat cat.
All the letters are going L-shaped. Oh, my God.
La, 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 la.
As his previous several relationships ended with his mate cheating on him. It was in August, I know. I removed Fox Collar since he couldn't possibly be my pet if he wasn't allowed to play with me, even. I was stupid, though, and held on to some kind of hope that he'd remember what he had with me and return. Sometime in February 2012... I find out that Bat will be attending Fox's college graduation. They'll be going back to Bat's home together. Furthermore, Wednesday, March 10th, I learned that Bat has arrived. So I've tried to simply I learned that Bat has arrived. So I've tried to distance myself from because this hurts. I mean, it really hurts, physically hurts. He wants to stay friends, of course. When I throw it as him that I'm hurt because he cheated on me. What? He responds, I didn't cheat. We were never mates. I've gone from being crushingly depressed over this to completely enraged. So my question to the cast, how do I get over Fox? Am I right to feel so devastated over the Fox? Am I right for wanting to just cut him out of my life? Hoping to hear back one way or the other. Sorry for the long email. Lonely, anonymous, fuzzy.
I'm not anonymous.
No, you're not. You're quite there. Hard to miss. Well, you weren't mates, dude.
Yeah, he didn't really cheat on you.
And were you ever physically together? I mean, that's a big, there's a big delineation between he was my pet / slave on Second Life to we fucked real life.
Uh-huh.
There's a really big difference there. How do you get over Fox? Well, you stop talking to him if you're really that upset about it. Are you right to feel so devastated over him? That's subjective, I think.
I'm going to say it's understandable to me why he would feel that way, why he would be upset, because he thought it was some... In a master-pet relationship is some kind of relationship, even if it's not boyfriend-boyfriend. So I understand why he feels upset, but at the same time, you know, unless they defined what this master pet thing means to each of them.
Yeah.
You know, and couched it in those terms, like it was, I care about you like a mateship, then it's going to be, it sounds like it's entirely one-sided.
That's what it seems like to me. It's like, are you at Filsa devastated? Well, you're always welcome to your emotions, but I think you're the one upset in this case. I don't think that Fox really knows your issue, because he probably views it as it was an online thing.
Master Pet online thing. It's not a mate.
Not, I'm going to live with this person now and have sex.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you do need to get over him, I think.
Are you right for just wanting to cut him out of your life? Well,
to be honest,
if it really caused you that much turmoil, do it. I mean, if you want to throw that anything previous out the window because he's currently causing you this level of emotional turmoil, yeah, it's within your rights to do so. If people are not a positive influence, and because of whatever reason, in this case, that a one-sided pining relationship in your head, that in your mind he has cheated on or something, cutting him out is a good way to
remove the pain,
to cauterize the emotional wound. But it is usually when those kind of steps are taken, it's usually a very final thing. So, I mean, that's something to be taken with careful deliberation, I would think.
Yeah, I would recommend it. Just based on the little I know, yeah, I'd recommend just not having further contact with him, because, I mean, he sounds like he's treating it as it was an online master pet thing and it didn't really mean anything. You sound like you're treating it more like an actual relationship that was broken up. Mm. And in the case of a breakup, it's really best to just distance yourself from the person until you get over the emotional trauma of it. You know, and that could take like a year, you know, and then you might be able to be friends afterwards. But by that point, you both should have moved on pretty much. So,
but he should realize it sounds like you were really emotionally hung up. But at least, and that's, it happens, but at least you shouldn't be thinking of him like a cheater. It was a relationship. You did, it didn't work out, but don't think, I wouldn't think of him like a cheater.
Yeah, that's really not fair to him.
And I'm going to kind of say, yeah, it was over like a 5-year, 4.5-year period of time. So, I mean, they were master pets for a while. So it does kind of make sense why he'd feel that way. But honestly, I mean, if you were going to be in that kind of relationship, you should have just been mates at that point.
Yeah.
You can be mates and still have the master pet relationship with each other. They don't have to be mutually exclusive. But a lot of that probably came down to circumstance. You know, if you met on Second Life, so I'm going to assume not local, you know, and if you were ever going to be local to each other and things like that.
And I do wonder, though, I mean, were you in contact with him during this period between August 2009 and February 2012? That's a big question. Yes. Okay, well, you probably would have hopefully he would have told you that, hey, Fox and Bat are going to go make little fox bats.
or fats.
Or boxes. Yeah,
now looking at the timeline more, like, he's made it to Bat in August 2009, and, you know, by early this year, they're going to be visiting and living together. It's like, man, that was like 3 years ago.
Yeah.
That's kind of a long time to still be...
have a candle lit, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you need to just drop him and move on with your life.
And there you go. That's our answer.
Sorry. Okay.
Moving on.
Let's see. This is a two-parter.
Yep.
Let's see.
Okay.
Okay, wall of text for Shiva.
Oh, God.
It's like worked out that way.
You guys are assholes.
Well, you can pick another one.
You don't have to read this one. I'd be more than happy to read it, but if we're going from the bottom to the top of the list.
That one's not much shorter.
The one titled Blam is really short.
There you go.
This is my speed?
Yeah.
Yes.
Totally.
It has small words.
I think that this is... You guys are also assholes. Title, Blam. You guys are cool, though Fuzz's voice gets on my nerves sometimes. How the hell can you guys talk for over an hour in your episodes? That's about it. Bye.
So, you'd be surprised at how much a person can talk.
And talk. And bullshit. Lots and lots of bullshit.
Because we were talking at dinner...
We talked for about 20 minutes before we started actually recording.
Yeah.
And we talk after the show. And we've done this for 172 plus episodes.
We are full of words.
We are full of words.
And bullshit.
Well, when you're friends with people, I mean, sometimes you just chat, you know?
Well, it's nice that we're hopeful. Hopefully we're still helping. You know, we're doing something that we feel is important, and it's stuff that we get to pontificate about. We get to share our opinions, assholish or not.
Yeah, I wonder if my voice would be better if I talked like Gilbert Gottfried.
No.
Yeah.
And I can talk like Fran Drescher.
I read all the emails like this?
No.
Just dump the motherfucker already.
Chop off his cock and feed it to the dog.
No.
Bad
wolf, bad fox, bad. God.
Well, when you think about it, though, think of...
Now, Snarf is perfectly acceptable.
So
maybe that's when my voice is getting on people's nerves.
When you channel Snarf. Between my projects and your projects, we've both done over 200 episodes of podcasts.
Yeah.
And, you know, Shiva, you have like 100, probably, at this
point. I know I came in a little bit before episode 100. I don't remember exactly what number I came in at.
Okay, so around OkulaCon, you'll be here for 100 episodes.
Yes.
Think about that. Not many shows make it this long.
I think I came in about 70-odd. I don't remember.
Hmm.
I'd have to look.
So?
Yeah.
But, yeah, think about that. We've been doing this for... years now, and we're still going. It's crazy.
Dun, dun, dun.
Like it's our hobby.
Yeah, and it's funny because, you know, sometimes it really is the random silly idea that you have that is the one that actually comes together and sticks with it, you know? Yeah. this was a totally random thing, and... it's worked.
Yeah, not we're Cass. All high-tech up in this shit. We got pads and...
Not Cass. Oh, let's hold a convention in Dallas.
I know, right? It's like we're full of awesome ideas that just pop into out and are great.
Dance.
So, yeah, how do we do it? We're just that good.
And lots of bullshit.
Okay, let's say it. We have lots of practice bullshitting.
Yeah,
lots of practice. Because remember, our first episode was like 45 minutes.
Yeah, like episode zero with like no email or like one email is like 45 minutes long.
And that was like
based on nothing. Other than, you know, my live journal post being like, hey... this would be a funny idea.
Seriously, there could be a week where we got no emails and we could still pull off an hour and a half show, probably.
Oh, God. There was one that was like, that we got like 3 or 4 email, like not a heavy week at all. And it was still like a 90-minute show.
Yeah. Because we just
bullshit
talked.
Yeah.
We're just these guys and gal, you know?
Yeah.
Thank you.
We should probably move on to the next email, because the next email...
Well, we managed to bullshit that one up, and it was like 2 sentences.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Fluff, 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 fluff.
Fluff? You're fluffering me?
Yeah, I'm fluffing you.
Okay. That's all right.
Fluffy wolf.
Yeah, yeah, fluffy.
They're just as prone to death as fluffy ponies.
Okay, so we can archive Blam.
Yay.
Okay, so I'll read the long two-parter then.
Yay!
Okay.
Let's do this.
Hang on one second.
Gonna take a sip.
Limber up. You have to stretch before you make an effort.
That's right.
Limber up. La, la, la,
and I stretched by leaning forward for my soda there.
Look at them abs.
Oh, God. I've got 5-second abs. They're underneath my 30-year fat. Hello, ears not and L-shaped one.
La.
I haven't written in for quite a while, but I decided to write in on the Therian topic. My mate and I are both Therian. I feel like, spiritually, I'm somewhere between a canine and a feline, while he feels like he's a dragon. We both are pretty serious about it, and we are fairly involved in stuff like pagan beliefs and spirituality. However, we don't let it run our whole life. I don't feel the need to growl at people I don't like or demand head pets or shit like that, especially not in a public setting, something that non-Therian furries seem to have issues with. Really, the closest I get is letting out the odd animalistic growl as I bite down on my mate's shoulder while I fuck him hard. That would have been a good sentence to read in Snarf's voice. I don't think there's anything bad with Therianism.
Ah, snarf, snarf. Yeah, bitch, you like that. Oh, yeah.
As I bite down on my mate's shoulder while I fuck him hard.
Snarf.
Snarf, snarf. I don't think there's anything bad with snarfism. However, it's quite possible to take it so seriously that it has a negative effect on your life. Just look at people who do nasty stuff to their particular interpretation of their faith. Sure, there are a lot of examples of fucked up Therians who do stuff like bark at people they don't like in public. But sometimes it seems like the furries who pick on Therians do it to try and seem like they're not the bottom of the totem pole. After all, for every story of a Therian who lets his or her beliefs have a negative effect on their life, there's 3 furries who brag about how they fuck random people all the time, 6 who don't shower, wear ears and tails in public, and constantly carry around a plushie, and 4 or 5 narcissistic poppy furs who manipulate people, may overlap with the people who fuck random people all the time. I should also, at this point in the email, note that 98% of all statistics are made up. So I may not disagree with you. I may not agree with you on some of your numbers here, but it seems to me like the Therian bashing, which honestly seems to have been dying down for quite a while, though I've definitely seen a lot of it still happening, is just a way of compensating. Bashing someone else so you can say, at least I'm not as bad as them. Although I could be wrong, it's merely a guess.
Hey, I mean, at least nowadays furries can bash on bronies.
Don't open up that fucking can of worms.
Oh, don't forget there's well, the ones that write furries that write Star Trek / fic.
Then like yeah. Kirk is like an ocelot or something.
Yeah. Yes. Which I was so amused a few weeks ago when I realized to the knot sheath that we did at FWA and Kyle had referenced that.
No. What's even worse is a large part of the Chakot universe that is
tied into Star Trek.
Yes. Yeah. And it's like,
because of the one character that was on the animated series, right? There was like a Tor type character.
No, there was a feline, anthro feline.
That's right. Yeah.
But it's a very thin skin of the Star Trek universe. Very thin. It's been diverging as time went on, but it has its roots in Star Trek furry eyes.
See, this is... I'll continue in a moment, but this is what's so interesting to me about the furry fandom. And everyone bitches about... Some douchebags bitch about the bronies now. But, so in the 70s, that one Star Trek character was the jump-off point for furries. And then there's Fritz the Cat and Omaha the Cat Dancer. Did he get into the 80s? And Sarah and I have mentioned Great Mouse Detective before, Robin Hood in the 70s. There's the Balto furries. There's the Sonic furries. There's the Pokemon and Digimon furries. The Lion King furries.
Ninja Turtle furry.
Because
they had, like, Ninjara, who was, like, an anthro fox.
Yeah.
Usagi Yojimbo.
And I totally bought all, like, this was before I knew I was a furry, really. That I discovered this hot anthro fox chick. And I tried to buy all the Ninja Turtle comics that had Ninjara in it. What's kind of funny is she's actually in some issues of Furlough. Because the guy, I guess the way they do that it's the way they do it in Britain, where, like, you know, the guy that created the Daleks owns the Daleks, even though they're in Doctor Who. Mm-hmm. The guys that created Ninjara held onto the copyright for that character, so she had Indie Adventures and Furlough that mm-hmm. were unconnected from the Turtles comics.
Well, even the Turtles are freaking Anthros, too.
Yeah, but getting back to my point, and nowadays, you know, now the next big thing is going to be people finding the fandom through the ponies. And they're really just the next iteration of something that has been happening since the 70s.
Because I remember the Sonic and the eye rolling with the Sonic.
Let me tell you what.
Yeah.
I know a couple people that have become total fur fags through My Little Pony. They, you know, they see some Anthro versions of their favorite character and they start looking around and find, man, that fucking Anthro unicorn is kind of hot. Oh, you know.
Yeah.
And it's kind of funny because, from my point of view, when they first started, they're like, oh, I'm furry, whatever. I don't judge them, but whatever. Now they're like, oh, fuck, yes. Give me all
your art. Next thing you
know,
they'll be looking for that old Genius issue that's the all unicorn lesbian edition with the Sean Howell cover.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I mean, she even pointed that out, and I was like, yeah, that. It's the same thing that happens every few years.
Oh, yeah.
Whatever cartoon or comic or whatever and with an intro character.
That, you know, Sean was there back in the day, and he's still doing it now.
Yeah.
That nigga knows how to make money with drawing unicorns with tits. He's been doing it for a long-ass time.
Maybe in the 80s he was drawing, like, the Pegasus and Rainbow Bright or something with tits.
I have fucking no idea. Right?
But anyways, we like fucking got way off track here.
Sorry about that.
We have a track.
We're talking about
we're talking about the communities and like who's the looking down on who.
Not my inner Star Trek feline.
Fucking Marefs. She's the cause of it all.
You know her name.
See, I don't even remember her name. I did watch the cartoon when I was a kid, though.
How do you not fucking know the name? Don't you know your furry history?
Sorry. I think Tailspin was the first thing that really were...
Now, see, that's a fucking cartoon that needs a fucking revival. Diesel punk, anthro-filled world.
God, mm-hmm. I know. Yeah. Well, that's how I describe...
Shere Khan.
We have that novella, Basecraft Cirrostratus, that I describe it as Tailspin with dicks. Because it's got the big helicopters and airships and planes and stuff like that. And yeah. It's basically
Diesel
punk. Tailspin
was diesel punk before diesel punk existed.
Yeah. Tailspin is fucking awesome.
And that theme song is now running through my brain like a rampant wildebeest.
Oh, yeah, sure is. Also, I have the comics somewhere.
See, they need to just revive that
shit. They did a really limited run of Tailspin comics, and right towards the end, they were doing like a flashback of like Kit's past before he got in with the pirates, and it was about to be such a good story, and then they canceled it. And I was like, ah. Oh. But it's such a rich universe. I mean, if I'd been writing more back in the day, you'd probably see me do some 90s fucking Tailspin fanfic or something like that. But I wasn't really doing a lot of...
Cape Suzette, and you know, they had like the cannons and shit and the Iron Vulture.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, Louis Island place. You know, it's like a Runford Gunrunners. It was a really cool universe.
Gargoyles. Gargoyles was not. I love Gargoyles.
A couple seasons were good.
I think that was when I stopped watching cartoons. Like, I was watching cartoons for a while, and then I think I got up to Goof Troop. And yeah, I watched Goof Troop and Darkwing. And that was... I noticed that, like, progressively... Tailspin was the peak, and then the Disney Afternoon got progressively less good with each show after that.
Yeah, after Darkwing... Duck.
I like Darkwing.
Which I liked a lot.
Like,
don't get me wrong.
See, I love Tailspin. I like Darkwing. Goof Troop was okay, and then after that,
DuckTales.
I just kind of stopped caring. Well, I came before.
Yeah, that was, so it was like DuckTales, Rescue Rangers.
Gummy Bears, Tailspin.
Yeah, then Tailspin. I kind of missed that. I missed out on Gummy Bears. I never really watched that one.
I watched some of it.
A little bit younger.
I think it was on before I got home from school back in the day. But anyways, we've gone super off track from this guy's emails, but
okay.
What we were meaning is that, hey, it does tangent back into people looking down on whomever else.
Yes.
Right, okay.
So, moving on.
And as for Fuzzwolf's rant in the last episode about how everyone should feel 100% human because they are, I don't entirely agree. From a biological stance, certainly, but from a spiritual stance, people feel differently.
Well, that was sort of the whole point.
Yeah.
You can believe what you want, but you're still 100% human.
In the flesh.
In the flesh.
Yeah.
I think that was pretty much what we agreed on.
Right? Yeah, although I mean, I was more cut and dry about it. The thing to remember, though, is that I'm also an atheist, so I've, you know, I lump reincarnation and my soul is doing this and that along with Jesus. Christianity, the Easter Bunny,
Santa,
oh, gargoyles, you know, the Cadbury Egg Bunny.
No, he's real. Yeah. I've eaten his eggs.
Anyways, move on.
So, to me, you don't have a soul. It wasn't an animal at one point. That's my personal belief. You can believe whatever you want, but, you know, as long as you're not eating me because you were a wolf in a past life or something.
He's going to summon his pack mates. Moving on, God.
You know how you know those bumper stickers that are like bowlers do it in the alley. I always wanted to one that's like werewolves do it in packs.
Oh,
you know, author of this email, I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
I do appreciate that you wrote in, but you wrote a long email, so we're tangenting a lot. But
we
you
get have distracted. Some, something shiny.
We can only hold our attention for so long. Yeah. We're like spastic children.
But I enjoy he's written quite well, and that he's got some points, and I don't mind people disagreeing with me as long as they're intelligently doing it. Yeah. Let me get back to this sentence. Should people feel like they're really a man, even though they were... Let me make sure that I didn't... Okay, but from a spiritual stance, people feel differently. Should people who feel like they're really a man, even though they were born a woman, feel 100% male simply because they are? See, that's...
That's a little different.
That's very different to me. That's an actual... I think they've actually shown that there is a different thing in the brain
for
transgendered
wiring.
People. We're not talking about a spirit, which is an ethereal, unprovable concept. We're talking about actual genetic and biological differences in the brain of a transgendered person. That you know, I believe people can be transgendered. I'm less likely to believe that someone has the spirit of a Pikachu.
Oh.
That's more otherkin than Therian, but anyway. So I don't think I get what you're meaning, but I don't think that's a good example to try and
not really
bring
no.
it into transgender
well,
people.
He says that in his follow up that it wasn't a perfect analogy.
Okay, well let me continue and we'll get to that point. Although I do see where Fuzz is coming from, I simply don't entirely agree with him. Although I do think people who feel like they're almost entirely non-human, despite their physical body being human, are taking a bit too far. So, I mean, you sound like you basically have your head screwed on straight. You know, you have your spiritual beliefs, but you're not denying the reality of what's looking at you in the mirror. Which, you know, that's cool that you have that level of, you know, comprehension of reality, but... Yeah, I've met a few people that, you know, that don't have that, and that's primarily what my rant was about. Sorry for the long, rambling paragraph now. I'll be off to destroy the sanctity of marriage by fucking my boyfriend. And Yay. Now we have the postscript, which is nearly as long as the email, and a follow-up. So, P.S., this just came to my while listening to my roommate watch the videos in the living room. How does one deal with shitty roommates? This roommate doesn't pay the bills, and the only half-decent TV in the apartment he uses as his main computer monitor, and he refuses to let anyone use the TV when he's on his computer, which he is on whenever he's home. Even when most of what he's doing is watching videos on his laptop, he paid $600 for a gaming laptop he doesn't game on when money is an issue in the apartment, and chatting on his second computer monitor. Also, despite being several thousands of dollars in debt due to college and credit cards, he still doesn't work, even though he only goes to class 4 days a week, and only one of those days does he have a class from 9 to 5. Other days, he's only at school between 1 to 2 in the afternoon and 5 p.m. Despite all that, he still is refusing to go out and get a job. All he's done is go to one job fair a new restaurant had when he was pretty much passed over. We found out when some of his friends were over, and one of them said that someone else got a job at said new restaurant, and they were taking everyone they could, even though our roommate had been told they weren't hiring. Basically, that could be the roommate was lying to avoid actually having a job. I'm not sure. I mean, he could have been passed over, or he could have been lying about it. Basically, despite the fact that the rent is supposed to be split three ways, me and my mate were the only ones that paid rent last month, meaning we had to pay all of it, and I doubt that our roommate can get the 200 and some bucks needed to cover this month's rent. Also, I should note that me and my mate aren't exactly rolling in cash at the moment. If we have to pay his share of the rent, that's quite a bit less that can be paid for food. The big issue, though, is that our roommate's name is on the lease, and me and my mate are not.
Oh.
Meaning the roommate can evict us, and my family is 6 hours away, my mate's family is 2 hours away, and is only slightly less evil than they were when he ran away from home close to half a year ago. And the only friends we have in the area are already fitting four people into a two-bedroom apartment. So if we get kicked out, we're pretty much fucked.
You're SOL.
Yeah, you're kind of fucked, bro.
You need to either find a place that will let you sign up on the lease, or wait until this one runs out, or something else. But until your name is on the lease and his is not... Well, you can't do anything.
See, if you look at it, his roommate's got a pretty fucking sweet deal. He's got two guys in his apartment that are working, that aren't on the lease, that are basically there at his sufferance. So he can make you do whatever the fuck he wants. Yeah. And y'all can't do shit.
This sounds like it might be difficult for you guys to do. But, I mean, I would think your best course of action would be to move out. I mean, the two of you move out and take all the income with you, basically. Get your own place or share with somebody else. And then he's going to have to deal with being evicted by the landlord.
For not having an income.
My question is this three person or is there a fourth in the
three?
Six? I mean,
it's just the three.
So if he's the only guy on the lease,
The good thing is, if you're not on the lease, you can't be got after for back rent, because you don't exist.
Yeah, I would go seeing if you could find someplace else, too.
Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, that's going to be your first step.
Yeah, and I realize that might be difficult. Try to find another couple to maybe share a place with.
Yeah.
You can always...
This is a bit of a downer email. Like, hey.
Yeah. Sorry about that. I appreciate your thoughts on the therianthropy topic, though. I am going to read the follow-up right quick.
It's real short.
It's from the same person. Just short. A minor point I forgot to add in my last email until it hit send. I know the analogy I used comparing Therians to transsexuals wasn't even close to perfect. It was simply the only comparison I could think of. Sorry for debunking that before I read the follow-up out loud there.
All right. Well, hey, you know how that guy talked about how, like, we really talk for a long time before...
And we'd like to talk?
And we'd like to talk a lot? Well, we're almost to an hour, so what we're going to do is we're going to save, and they're going to have a music break, because I'm going to talk about something from AdamEve.com, and we'll get back to reading emails.
Yay. Woo!
That was Children of the Wicked by Bonkers from Vampire Variations. Wow! That was awesome.
Okay.
So, now we're talking about bloodsuckers. Let's talk about cocksuckers. What do you got, Fuzz?
Okay, so this item is on topic for this week. So you feel that you may have a dragon inside you? Well, now you can with the little dragon butt plug. Only $14.95 at our sponsors, AdamandEve.com. This is a little silicon butt plug for your P-spotted G-spot thrills. It is 5.5 inches long. It has a prostate nudging head. It's curved to reach your prostate. Contoured handle teases the perineum.
Perineum.
Thank you, Saverin. You know all about it since you've been licking it. Safe and easy to insert and remove. What? It's the spot behind your balls. It's not like, you know, I'm telling you to...
But even then, that's like...
Too close.
Move on.
You're so skittish, man. Damn. I'll be all up in there with my tongue and shit. All over that ass. Oh, yeah. Booyah!
No. Just no.
Then you jab your tongue in her asshole to the root until you can taste what they had for lunch.
You are a gross motherfucker.
No.
No, I'm not at all advocating that, actually.
Thank you for clarifying.
You never go ass to mouth.
Ugh. Great for first time anal fun, charming theme design. Yeah, these are the bullet points on this, but it's a little black silicon butt plug with an interesting shape that you can just, you know, it almost looks like, you know, like you're gonna have a pair of brass knucks because it's got the two finger holds. So you just put this on your finger, and instead of punching someone, you just surprise ram this up their ass.
What it is a little black butt plug. It's tapers off into like a little dragon tail at the end, but the dragon tail loops around to form the like two grips for two fingers. Yeah. It's actually kind of cute.
So this is like the prostate toys?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. And it's only $14.95, but if you use our coupon code KNOT, that gets you 50% off of that. So free domestic shipping and the free gift and the three free DVDs, the fuck tapes, if you will. And it just looks like a fun little gadget that you can stick in your ass and tickle your prostate.
Yay, up the butt.
Yay, butt. So that is our special item, and that is under the men's sex toys, anal sex toys, butt plugs. So... What next?
I need to read an email.
Okay.
So now that we've talked about butts, we're going to talk about other things.
Okay.
Hello, Notcast. I just got finished listening to episode 171, and I thought I would write in about otherkin, considering that I identify as such. First, I would like to say that I can, of course, only speak only for myself, but that in my experience, most otherkin think similarly to the way I do. To most, otherkin simply means they do not identify as human for whatever reason. For me, it is more of a definitely a spiritual thing, and personal besides. My kintai species is a little nebulous, as I can most simply describe myself as a monster. I am anthropomorphic. Antlers, a badger-like face, arms like a bird's legs, wings on my back, and a lion-like tail. Of course, there are many other kinds of monster kin, and of course, kintais in general. On top of seeing this horror myself in my own spiritual religious headspace, I will occasionally get phantom sensations from where I believe my wings, tail, and antlers would be were able to manifest in the physical world the way I see myself in the spiritual world.
That could be the first signs of Parkinson's, and you should probably go to a doctor.
Guys.
This phantom limb phenomenon is common with otherkin, though not all people have it. I would also like to note this could be seen as an appropriated term for people who are not otherkin, but have lost a limb due to accident or combat. It is not used for the purpose of antagonizing those people, only to have words to describe a physical, similar physical sensation. A grand majority of other kin are perfectly fully aware of their human body. For myself, I'm able to maintain a friendship's involvement in my local LGBT community and hold a job. I beat at McDonald's, but money is money.
Indeed.
So obviously my beliefs are not interfering with my day-to-day life. I have to say, though, I was a little offended by what was said, specifically a bit calling other kin crazy. I've consulted a psychology student who had a 4.0 and is almost done on what qualifies as mental illness or being crazy. For anything to qualify as a mental disorder, it must not be a normal part of any experience, chosen lifestyle, or culture, cause significant distress to the person, and 3, interfere with their functioning to a significant degree. It cannot also be because society thinks it's weird or abnormal. It must be the thing itself. All of the other kin I have met are happy with their non-human identity and are able to function in a world like most people of the world do. That's 2 out of 3, and seeing as you could take the first qualifier as a wide variety of ways, I would say this counts other kin as not crazy. Really, the only thing that causes distress among other kin community is others trolling or generally being shitheads to us. I can't think of anything else to add at this time, but feel free to email me back if you have any questions, and I'll answer them best I can. Thank you, Alexander.
Thank you for your email.
Input.
That's what we asked for.
Yep. Because we don't know.
The only thing I would actually like some clarification on is, from what I traditionally understood, Therians were people that had the belief of an animal spirit, of an animal that actually existed now or had existed in the past.
Mm-hmm.
And other kin were more the mythological creatures like gargoyles and dragons and things like that. So I'd actually like, I mean, and these words and terms change a lot over time. It's like how we talked about how the definition of lifestyler has kind of evolved over mm-hmm. time. So I'm wondering if that still means, if the delineation between the two groups is still the same as it was, you know, when I was part of the community.
Yeah, that's what I always thought, the big difference between the two groups.
Yeah, because I knew one guy that hung out with a furry group, and, you know, they were like, he's another kin, and I was like, oh, what the fuck is that? And he's like, well, he's a gargoyle. And I was like, oh, okay, so that's the difference. Interesting.
Okay. All right, so...
So after Savern, is it my turn then?
Yeah, no, it's Shiva's turn.
Shiva's turn.
We're doing Wittershins again.
Okay, right. That makes sense.
Okay. Long time no see, believe it or not, it's Jeffrey Wolf writing in with your news from the underground. So, as a failed MILFer, thanks pre-existing health condition, my take on Don't Ask, Don't Tell comes from being the significant other of a deployed Army PFC. I think that's Private First Class.
Yep.
I can tell you that it's provided a great relief because we can correspond back and forth without much worry. Outside of that, it's nice just knowing that you have all the U.S. have finally caught up to us, your friendly neighbors in the South.
North. Otherwise, he's writing from the Mexican Army.
I was wondering. I think he must be Canadian then. I don't know.
Yes, I apologize. Shiva, he's Canadian.
He didn't outright say it. I apologize for spacing in this email, but I wrote it on my iPhone, so cut me some slack. Actually, it's fine. Let's see. Hope you guys are doing well. Remember, Shiva, you belong in the kitchen. I'll try to be less absent now that my first year of being a nursing student is almost done. Only 3 more left. TTFM, Jeffrey Wolf.
You know how I know he's from Canada? He spelled neighbors with a U.
Eh?
Where? Oh. I guess so. I mean, thanks to living over in Oz, I just kind of gloss over that, and I don't notice the extra U's thrown in anymore.
I still notice the difference between them. And I still spell the British way in a lot of things like that myself. But yeah, Canadian spelling is much closer to British spelling than American spelling.
It's the same thing in Oz. I mean, they do the same exact spelling.
The Americans have to go their own way. And, you know, we don't need your stinking U's. Mm-hmm. We need all these extra U's to spell USA.
Right. Ah! The major tracking software that we use at work for all of our project design, I looked at it as like, oh, this isn't a U.S. company because they use favorites with a U.
Yep.
It's like, oh.
Favorites, colors.
Honor.
Yep.
A whole bunch of them.
Butt sex.
I don't think you can put the extraneous U's in that.
I put U's and umlauts and everything.
Everything.
All the U, all the tildes forever.
How do you pronounce something with an umlaut? I don't know.
Moonbee is what Sarah
said. No, that's not
an actually pronounce it moonbee. Wait, no, it's umlaut, the two little dots.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was the esset, which is the moon bee. It's a double S sound.
Moon bee.
As Panther was quite insistent upon as he smacked me about for it. It's an esset.
I remember that, yeah.
You're like, no, it's a moon bee.
I'm not from Belgium. I don't care.
Is that what Tessa used to spell his character? That one?
Yeah.
Okay, that one.
Burger. Or as you pronounce it correctly, Serger.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny as hell.
Yeah.
The moon bee.
Moon bee.
That anywho, shouldn't be
as funny as it is.
That shouldn't be as funny
it's
to me.
It's 10:30. Things are funny.
There we
that
go.
Should not
there's
be.
A moon bee. Oh God, there's a moon bee in my email.
Wow.
Moving on.
We should just have a segment called Moon Bee so we can relive.
That could be the next week's topic, Moon Bee.
Moon Bee.
Anywho.
Okay. Next email, episode 172, Werewolves on Warplanes. Hey, Notcast, this is my take on one of the questions you posted for this week's topic. I really have no view on Therians, more my response is to the bit about warplanes. You can tell it's
10 o'clock.
It's late of old. It's not late.
10:23. We've got lots of partying to do. I have some of that special sugar. Because no pony parties like Pinkie Pie parties.
I can't have sugar.
You can have this kind of sugar. It's zero calories.
No sugar.
So I have a tiny story, but I'll keep it brief as I can. Things were shit. The end. Sincerely yours. <No. laughs> Things were shit. I was broke as hell, and I couldn't get back into college. The job I was in was shit, so I decided fuck it around Christmas time, and I enlisted in the U.S. Navy. I swore in the middle of January and have been in DEP, Delayed Enlistment Program, since then, and will be until June 5th when I leave for basic. I may only have been in for a few months, but as a gay-leaning bi man, I'm finding through my talking with the various petty officers and chiefs that they have little opinion on the matter, positive or negative. On another note, I found it interesting when I was watching a Navy documentary called Carrier. This, I think, 8- or 10-part series documented a full tour, 6 months, aboard the USS Nimitz. The part that had me giggling, as it was filmed during the repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell, and the 3 months after, was two of the sailors. One was an airman, the other a pilot. The difference being an airman works on planes and a pilot flies them. The specific thing that had me giggling was the difference in the pair before and after DADT was removed. When they were first introduced, they were just friends, stone-faced, but you could tell that they weren't just friends. And yep, on comes Shirley in Australia, the week that Don't Ask, Don't Tell was removed, and oh shit, I was right. So, yeah, my opinion on Don't Ask, Don't Tell being removed, good. There's a major morale boost that you don't have to worry about things like that anymore. And if another sailor starts giving you guff, you can just go over their heads now and get them in serious shit. Whereas you had to just take it before. Not that I'm worried or going to take that. So, on another note, I don't like Santorum, any form, presidential candidate or otherwise. Let's just say it's awkward sitting around in a towel in a fuck buddy's house, his boyfriend laughing, and that guy getting the shower first. Fuck that. I really don't see what that has to do with Santorum.
Like, unless they had Santorum as a byproduct of anal sex.
Okay.
I don't know.
Yeah, that part, like the whole email made sense to me until that part kind of lost me, sorry. Well, I can't think of anything else save maybe who Notcast is putting their money on this election. I'm going to be casting my vote on a write-in, possibly Tom Petty.
Too close to our own.
That's it. So have a fine Navy Day, Red.
I'm hoping for Obama, but, you know, I'm a liberal douchebag.
Well, you have to admit, we live in Texas. Our votes don't matter. Right. We can vote all we want.
Yeah, Tom Petty is too close to Rick Perry.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, our state will never... It'll get purplish, but it'll probably never, ever, ever go Democratic.
I'll still go and try to make Dallas blue, though.
Yeah. Yep. Last time Dallas was blue, College Station was blue, and Austin was blue.
I thought Houston was blue.
No.
The parts of the state that actually should matter, as opposed to the vast deserts, forests, and...
shitholes.
And fire-scorched plains.
Right.
The lava fields should not be able to vote over...
So, listening to NPR and listening to some political headlines and stuff like that, it sounds to me like Obama is doing either even or ahead of Romney in the polls right now. Now, I'm assuming it's all but certain at this point in time that Romney is going to be the Republican nominee, the om-nom nominee, rom-nom-nominee. So, he's pro-vore. unless... President Obama, like, has a complete fucking meltdown and just drops some major fucking ball between now and November, I think he's going to get reelected.
Yeah. We'll see, though. There's a lot of time left to go.
There is, and a lot of shit can happen, but, you know, I think it's looking pretty good for the president, but we do have to be pretty eternally diligent, because... The last time I felt that an election was a foregone conclusion was 2004, and I was really surprised that Bush handily beat John Kerry, because I thought Bush was such an enormous fuck-up in 2004. How could he possibly be reelected? And I was honestly surprised that he was.
Yep.
So I'm not going to count anything for granted when it comes to these presidential elections anymore.
Yep.
But that's my opinion. I'm thinking Obama will probably still get it. I don't think it'll be a landslide. I think it will be one to watch. But.
Well, as long as, you know, they can kind of keep up the narratives they've got going. I mean, seriously, all this shit about women. It's like, yeah, they are 51% of the population.
I don't understand how any woman in her right mind would vote for him.
Religion.
I mean, yeah.
You mean Romney. Vote for Romney. Yeah. You know.
I mean, he wants to strip away so many of our rights and privileges. I mean, really, how could you in your right mind vote for him?
Yeah.
Anyone that's gay? Anyone that's a
not
woman?
A white industrialist?
Yeah.
Not some rich... Anyone that's not some rich, greedy cocksucker?
Yeah.
Fuck those guys. So, anyways...
Welcome to LibFagCast.
I don't think we've ever been known as anything other than that, so...
No.
Nah.
We're
throughout all the various cast changes, I don't think anyone on the show has ever been remotely conservative.
Yeah.
Maybe fiscally, but not socially.
Even fiscally, I can't get behind, because just all their ideas just sound so terrible.
And it's usually geared towards helping the corporation at the loss of the workers, so
yeah. And fucking over the poor.
Yeah, see, that's what I have a problem with.
It's like, I would be fine with fiscal conservatism if we shifted money out of, say, defense and blowing up brown people and putting that towards social welfare and education,
yeah,
and infrastructure. That would be great.
Yeah. Like, I would...
Also funding the shit out of NASA.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and NASA doesn't even... The thing is, NASA's not even that big a percentage of the overall budget. It's
minimal.
You know, but they make it sound like it's...
Oh my
this,
God, it's a huge waste of time.
Yeah.
How the hell are we ever going to get off this little rock if we don't
I don't care about that. That's Star Trek shit. That's like 400 years in the future. My problem is that, you know, we wouldn't have fucking cell phones and GPS and shit like that if it wasn't NASA. You know, and there are still more things that we could do with maintaining a space program.
Yeah.
As far as, like, Okay, as far as like going to Mars and shit like that, that always seemed kind of pie in the sky to me, and I don't really care about that.
I think if we put our minds to it, we could go to Mars in our lifetime. It's just...
Yeah, we could. Why?
Because we need to fuck Martians.
Yes. They're hot.
There are little green men, and I need to fuck them.
God, you know that's what humans will fucking do, too.
Find something.
When we discover an alien race, if it has an orifice, we're going to fuck it.
You fucking know it, dude. Seriously, 40 years of Star Trek has made generations of people totally willing to stick their dick in some blue quad-titted bitch. Four tits, six eyes, doesn't fucking matter to me, it's got a vagina. Our close approximation thereof. You can speak, right? All right, cool. It's not being scaly now.
No!
Then the aliens come like, why are you fucking our cows?
Our cows are sacred.
And they sound like they're from India.
Yes.
Space Indians.
Oh shit, we're gonna outsource our tech support to Mars.
God, you think the time gaps from a phone are bad now?
Martian labor is so cheap. They work for cum, and we can make plenty of that. Wouldn't that be awesome if we found a society where cum was like the valued fucking thing like gold is? It would be like, oh, sure, you know, I will definitely trade you your gold idol for me shooting a load on your face.
I mean, that seems like a perfectly reasonable transaction. I can't make that kind of transaction.
You can help make it happen. And you have six limbs, you know, if the paws are prehensile and the tail's prehensile, then you could stroke seven cocks at once.
Eight.
Eight by eight. You don't have two tails, do you?
No, mouth.
No, but we need to get the cum out. Well, I guess you could always spit into a cup or something like that. But I don't know if it was tainted with Chacat.
L-shaped germs.
L-shaped saliva molecules.
You're gonna make the sperm go L-shaped.
All the little microbes are L-shaped.
What if the sperm went L-shaped? Then nothing would get fertilized because all the sperm would just swim in circles. Little spirals that went nowhere. They might bump into an egg in like a year.
Oh man. Remember, not a person, not a person, not a person, not a person. Person!
Oh, I saw that the other day.
Oh, I haven't seen
Colbert, wasn't it?
It was, no, it was Daily Show.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
And it was one of the two.
Yeah. I'll show you later, folks. All right, so.
Okay.
Email time. Hey, it's my turn.
It's an email.
There's not a jingle for that.
There's not a jingle. Because the whole show's emails, it'd be kind of retarded if
we could actually write one, I'm sure. Or, you know.
So, don't ask, don't tell.
Oh, we could have different music for different segments. You know, like, we're going to start off with banter. The good banter. Bent all night long for about 20 minutes. Yeah. And, you know, that would be like the banter joke. That really
like,
sucks.
No, like the lead ins and leads out for different segments
email
on CNN.
Time.
Just like super fucking serious sounding.
Well, you do like a little swoosh sound. It's like email.
And now, Anderson Cooper with adamandeve.com.
Yes.
Anyways, guys, we're almost through this. Come on. All right, don't ask, don't tell.
Stay on target.
Cut his fucking head off.
0 to 60 is what just happened here at Fort Sam. Our commanding officer put all GLBT under his protection and said that bigotry would not be tolerated, and he meant it. I've seen a few people go up for Captain's mast for being asses to some of our GLBT shipmates.
Okay, Fuji, you're going to have to explain what exactly that means, where we don't speak your moon speak.
Okay, so I'm going to guess that they had to go up to the captain and, like, get their asses chewed out. Not literally. This is a huge jump from having a lot of gay guys getting the crap kicked out of them to still in the hospital and having nothing happen to the commanding officer saying out and out that gay bashing has to stop. Now we can shove it in people's faces that we're gay.
No, wait. Read that correctly.
Now can we shove it in people's faces that we're gay and proud? No. If we want to be like everyone else, then we have to just be that. Just like everybody else. Like that. Burp.
Yeah, we have to be all manly and shit.
Professional as fuck. We're all on the same team, and we have to fight the same fight. Also, I'd like to take time and say a lot of shipmates have been just that, real shipmates. They've been supportive of me and my boyfriend and in helping me get more comfortable with the idea about coming out at work. However, for now, I don't see it happening. I'm a corpseman first, gay man second.
No.
We'll not let him continue because it's addressed to the PS.
Corpseman.
No.
Corman.
Yes.
Corpseman. Ah. They're zombies. Oh, God. I can never join the corpse. Now it's not every command that has changed, but on the Navy side of things, I can say change isn't happening overnight, but it's happening. If you ever... If you're by FT, Fort Sam, look me up. Fujimaru, Corpseman, Corman for Saverin. Haha, Husky. Hoo-ah, not cast.
Hoo-yah, not cast. Hoo-yah.
Yeah, I'm terrible with English. Even though it's my first language, I'm terrible.
You're not as bad as me, but you know, I swear, Corman. I'm rubbing on you tonight.
If it's Corman, why is there an S?
And a P.
Fucking English. Fucking English, I swear to God. You and your experience, P's and S's.
Oh God, I'm gonna die.
Well, that's good to hear.
Because of Saverin's inability to speak.
Yes.
I am bad with the
words. I think he used that fucking word like 3 times more than necessary just to fuck with you. And yeah, that's kind of why I read the other Don't Ask, Don't Tell one, because I really wanted you to read this one.
Yeah, me and my inability to English.
Can't English.
I can't word good. I'm from Texas. Yeehaw!
Texas. Okay. Oh.
Butts. There's another email.
It is pretty long, though, now, and I haven't pre-read this one because it arrived while we were podcasting.
Yay, technology.
So we can give it a shot, or we can hold it to next week.
Yeah, might as well read it.
Okay,
it's right here.
All right,
you've already drooled on it.
Well, whose turn is it?
Mine.
Okay, have at it.
Hello, Notcast. I was curious as if I could get some relationship advice from you guys. I've been going through a bit of trouble in mine lately. And this isn't me fucking it up. And nobody knows what I should do. So I was sent to you guys from some of my friends. I'm a fox and my boyfriend is a dragon. We live in states right next to each other. It takes 3 hours to drive from one to another. Me and my loving mates were friends for a year. And now we've been going out for a year and 5 months. We've been seeing each other in person countless times, whether at a con or at his house or my house. My parents like him a lot, and so does his family to me. We are enjoying talking on the computer via instant messaging, video chat, and calling on the phone, texting. I still enjoy all these things. But ever since February or so, my mate has been acting sort of strange. He's been saying stuff like, I'm tired of using all these things to talk to you. And other various things I won't really say because I need to try and keep this short. He has been saying these sorts of things and pulling away from using messengers and all that jazz what we've been doing for so long. Me, I've grown quite fond of talking at least once a day. There were a lot of says that we would talk all day, not have any problems. Well, my mate just about broke up with me because of the petty arguing and stuff that you have mentioned before in your podcast, like gaming and stuff and whatnot, that and the distance factor. Well, we got the relationship back on track. Things have been much better. But ever since February, he hasn't really been telling me about his problems, things that are going on in his life, and talking like we used to. I know he's not going to leave me. I know he loves me so much as I do him. He's shown that things are going to be okay and that we aren't in danger of losing each other. Okay, so seeing him act like this whenever he goes back to his state and I go back to his has got me to find a solution for all the... When we are apart, things suck, and he's all frustrated and stuff. When we are together, when we are together in person, things are perfect problems. Living together. I have been thinking about this sort of thing since we were friends. I was in love before him. I was in love with him before he went out with me and what not. Lol. Huh?
Huh?
I was in love with him before he went out with me and whatnot. Long story.
Okay, but I've been gradually talking him through all the year about this. Well, now it's kind of is what I think will solve the problem. He thinks so, too. He is going to colleges. He finishes in June or July or so. He may have to stay longer for creds, though. Credits. He's having job problems and has been wanting to find a better job. He lives with his grandparents and is soon to be kicked out in June or July. His family loves him, but some don't get along with him, and he isn't really close to knit to his family. He has a few friends, one of which is in love with him, too, his best friend, as well as his best friend is wanting to get an apartment with him. I have to get my GED and license, that's it, and a job wherever I go. My parents love him and have offered to take him in, and he says that he hates his place in town and would love to be with me here. I can't really go there. I would be homeless. Although I would if I have to. I can survive. I am an outdoors guy, and I know a lot about survival. He said he wouldn't want me doing that. Here's what I have said to him. You can transfer your credits to a college in my state. That works. He's getting ready to lose or quit his job. He could find a job here. There are plenty of ways to get a job here. He wouldn't have much of a problem leaving his family. He may have to leave his best friend. Yes, that can be hard, but I've worked it all out and told him everything. Before I get to the point, his best friend loves him, doesn't want him going. He says he will end himself if he does, basically a bribe or whatever. And if I was to live in an apartment with him, I think it means if the writer moved in, the guy would get rid of himself. Mm. I would not be able to love on my mate, kiss, hold hands, cuddle, anything. Not even said nice stuff. Because his best friend would be upset and throw a tantrum, so I don't want to be inhibited there. And me and my family are close-knit. But like I said, I would do anything for my mate. Even leave. So there's that. Well, I tried asking him after our last meet. Would he come home here, me there? He told me I would have no place there. So I pitched my full plan to him. He says he loves my place, my family, my town. He said he would love to live here and would consider living here. But he says he believes it can't happen or that he just can't do that. I'm sorry. He basically said I was right in all ways, but he can't for some reason. And he doesn't like talking about it. How should I go about getting past the whole him not wanting to talk about things with me and being more to himself and stuff? I've tried a lot of things. And what should I do if I'm trying to work out something about living with each other and he's doing this sort of stuff that's hard to know exactly what he's wanting? Do you think my plan is good or bad or what? Sorry so long and probably confusing. I hope to get some help with this. I don't want to end up losing him. Thank you, Northcast X. Wow.
So first of all, fuck his friend.
Yeah,
that kind of
jerk.
If you move, I'll end myself. That's called emotional blackmail, and it's bullshit. And it's something that is just, it's a really immature, childish thing to do. His friend does just sound like kind of an asshole. I mean, his friend knows he has a boyfriend and is saying that if you lived with them, you wouldn't be able to show him any affection and shit. Fuck that and fuck that guy. I think you need to get that point across to your mate, you know, that
yeah.
You're more important to him than this other guy is who clearly doesn't want the two of you together. And you know, when it comes to, you know, leaving a friend behind, yeah, that could suck, but you know, I had to do that 7 years ago when I moved out here from Florida. I had to leave behind my family and a whole social group of friends that I had built up over several years. But, you know, Tieran and I really wanted to be together. And at the time, it was a huge sacrifice, but I felt that it was worth it to me.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, shit's worked out fine. And sure, I'm not as close to some of the people back in Florida as I was when I lived there. But I've made new friends here and formed new social circles. And, you know, your mate can definitely do the same thing living with you. Plus, it's only 3 hours apart. It's not like he's a million miles away. You know, if once he's living with you, he wants to see his family or something like that. Of course he will. You know, then that's only like a weekend trip, you know. But, God, I don't know what all you've said to him already and what more you could say to him, but just really need to sit him down and make him understand that it doesn't sound like there's any options for you moving there. And he's agreeing with you that everything sounds right with him moving in with you. You've got to get that reason out of him for why he's waffling on this. And if it's about his friend, if the fuck his friend.
Yeah, it's... It's a, and really, he's got to face up and decide what he wants to do. If he's unhappy with how things are, if the distance is really starting to eat at him, and he's tired of being on the computer, and he's tired of using the phone, he's got to take steps to fix this. Mm-hmm. And if he says that you come in there isn't going to fix things, that means that you either have to go to someplace mutual, at which point you have nobody to help you. Or he can come there. I can see waiting until he finishes his credits.
Definitely.
It's a good idea.
Yeah, you can transfer. It's a bit of a bitch.
Some schools only allow you to transfer so many.
I would definitely advise that he finishes the credits at whatever school he's at now. Totally.
Yeah, do that first. Then, I mean, June and July is not that long away.
No.
Finish up there. Maybe... You know, see how many credits he's got left beyond that, and if it's going to be a big deal, if he's just got to rush through the summer and get it done, that's one thing. I mean, if he's got like to do another two semesters, look long and hard at doing this. But if he's going to finish up, let him finish there, and then he'll be better equipped to wherever he goes from that point on.
To get a gerb.
Gerbil.
A gerb.
So, yeah. So basically, if he's tired of this bullshit, he's got to take steps to make it.
He has to do more than just sit there and feel bad for himself.
Yep. Mm. Yep.
The only crime is inaction.
Yeah, unfortunately, I can't, you know, I don't know all what he's tried, but...
Yeah.
So I don't really know what else to tell him to tell his mate, you know, other than just fucking being insistent and making him sit down and tell you what the fuck is up and and why he's waffling on this decision. You guys have any more input into that?
Not really. I mean, basically, your boyfriend needs to finish school and then probably move over with y'all, with you and your family. Because that's a win-win-win.
Yep.
To be honest, I mean, unless he's got a really damn good reason he's not fessed up to yet, I mean...
Yeah, I mean... And be insistent about the emotional blackmail, too. It's like, that's not cool, and, you know...
Yeah.
Get that across to him.
Yeah, let him, I mean, you know, really lay it on the line. I mean, how much of a shit his quote-unquote friend is being to him right now. That's just, that kind of threat is just completely unfair. And his friend is being completely disrespectful of their friendship and y'all's relationship. So, you know, fuck that guy. So, next week, want to hear FCN Con reports for one thing. Yep. Do we have a topic beyond that?
Not really.
Anybody think of anything? Oh, man. Check out this hot picture that Zen just posted.
Oh, wow.
Speaking of being inside a rabbit.
I will think of something, but FCN Con Reports is a good step.
Okay. We might think of something clever. I mean, sometimes we're at, it's like almost 11 o'clock at night. There's only so much brain that we can muster, and then we're just like, derp.
Mm-hmm.
Derp, derp.
We might think of something clever, or we might think of something stupid.
And then sometimes it's both all at the same time.
Yeah, clever, but also stupid.
So.
Yeah.
On that note, good night.
And big balls.